Good day, folks. This is Hal Anthony coming to you from behind the woodshed, where we intend to open a can of whoop-ass on those misguiding government, mistreating our people, and to stop the subversion of freedom. Out here behind the woodshed, we are not bashful to lay on the wealths of truth that they will teach the lessons to stop government trespass against us, because sparing this rod will most certainly get us the shaft.
At the situationally aware, action-oriented intelligence center of revolutionary engagement, you are now behind the woodshed opening a can of hard-hitting, IQ-busting whoop-ass on the domestic enemies in the UN-declared war, the undeclared war against America. Presenting today's great intelligence matrix, the great I am, Hal Anthony. Never forget, nobody escapes the undeclared war being waged against America. So that's right, folks. Whip 'em with rhythm. You hear that music coming in. Just whip 'em good. Whip those insane children and adolescents and all those domestic oppressors. Teach them what right is. Teach those that would trespass against us. Got to have a sense of property in you to know this. And then you have to have a process in your mind to say, you can't trespass me. And you got to just tell them, folks. Don't dare you disrespect us. Welcome behind the woodshed on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. We do this every week. Try not to miss one. I don't think I have at this point. Knock on whatever. You know I'm scheduled to be with you 2 hours Sunday, 2 p.m. Central, noon o'clock Pacific on OracleBroadcasting.com. And still don't have enough time every 2 hours. And I really wish I could extend more time to do this because there's just so much to tell y'all. And today, we're going to have a big victory this week. The war isn't over, but a big victory. And all you terrestrial broadcasters that beam our content to those who don't have the internet, I thank you very much. And to all you extraterrestrials looking for intelligent life on Earth, I know we're trying behind the woodshed to make this your intelligence center. And I don't know what else to tell you about that part, folks. I hear lots of things going on, people talking about things, but it doesn't seem to come from an actual experience or knowledge. And this is why I tell you, this is action-oriented radio here. We don't mess around. Everything I'm doing, I tell you about, or I talk about, there's an experience behind it. And that's why I come on to tell you, because it's not going to be about how much we know and how much we talk about it. It's about how much we take what we know and we do with it. A lot of this stuff is not necessarily so doom and gloom. I'm still interested, though I don't take much time out to go look around. I used to be fascinated more about it. Whenever I get a chance, I do look up, especially at night. Used to be able to talk all about everything going on in the skies and the heavens, and you can hear people talking about the more technical aspects. But for right now, if you want to get a little bit of fascination going on in you, at night, lurid meteor shower tonight and tomorrow, and this will be it's going on right now. So we got to wait till the dark, and we'll look up, and a lurid meteor shower happens annually. But this year's moonless night and lack of cloud cover for the western two-thirds of the United States will make news better. The best times will be to watch now until dawn. As soon as you can start seeing stuff, look. It'll be pretty dim, though, so you got to know where to look. Look to the northeast and pick up a viewpoint well away from city lights. The darker the sky, the better. And you'll be able to see this thing, and it can go up to 100. It's pretty unpredictable, but up to 100 meteors per hour. So those of you that are interested, this happens every 20. It's been happening for more than 2,600 years as we go through the comet Thatcher's tail. So fascinating little things going on, as we heard earlier in the week, an idea that we're going to possibly be having companies that actually grab meteors or asteroids out of the heavens and drag them in and process them in mining. So. And along the mining situation, and not just mining, but along your rights in the public lands, and a big, big victory this week, this last week. I'll talk to you about it after the break. I'm showing you, folks, this is what we do, and we can make changes. We just have to step up and do it and persist. Persist against the oppressors and persist to assert our property and our rights. Stay tuned. Thank you for tuning in today, Behind the Woodshed. As we keep moving on and keep pressing, folks, become an example, hopefully, to you, try to empower you, give you the tools that you need, give you exposure to tools if you didn't know, give you lots of different things to think about, to jump into. There's lots of us out in the nation. You know, I know the listenership is a small, very teeny, I can't even call it a percentage. It's just a handful of us listen to this broadcast compared to the nation. And, you know, we really have to get the word out about the rest of those people can do something. And here's another example. I can just say that there's a behind-the-scenes work that's been going on for quite a number of years in this county. It doesn't stop because of this, and it's not over, but this is on one issue that, you know, we talk about coordination, the coordination responsibility mandate of the federal government to look at the needs of the local governments, the local people, and the law. And this is a process. This is the process that we've been working through, although at a distance. We still have been putting in input to this process that this week culminated in a very big victory for people generally. And I suspect it as an example of how to empower you. This is a game changer in a way. In other words, yes, federal agencies give lip service to a lot of their mandate. But when enough of you step up, and you step up on point, in the right argument, you don't do hypotheticals and you don't talk about what you think you don't know and try to discuss it. You don't talk from an education standpoint, but from what you know you're knowledgeable about, you can really do some powerful things. And right now we're learning, we're coming to terms with our inability to deal with the processes that have been laid out for us. But here's a report now on what you can do when you learn wherever you are. I'm just telling you, folks, I've been looking at a lot of stuff through many a couple decades now. If you find out the process that's been laid out, you're going to be a whole, and follow that, you're going to be a whole lot more powerful than just whining and complaining. And so this last week, there was an interesting dynamic. The Forest Service and the BLM have to make Bureau of Land Management and the United States Forest Service under the Secretary of Agriculture have to make what they call these travel management plans. And that has to go through a process. And they haven't been too expressive of what that process is. But I know because I've been doing the research, and it was confirmed again to me. I didn't know anything about the gentleman called Fred Kelly Grant, who a decade and a half ago or so, saw, I think in the 80s, actually, he started to see this mandate of coordination that was upon required of the federal government. And this is where I tend to focus my energies. You look at where a government entity is required to do something, and then you hold their feet to the fire tenaciously. And they're like a snake, so they're going to be trying to bite you, and they're going to try and avoid you, and they're going to try, and they're hard to hold. But you got to be more tenacious than that. You have to want your property and your rights more than they want to come and take them. And we talk about the public lands, but I've told you, folks, if you don't know about property, you probably are property. And one of the clearest ways to understand about property is to look at the mining law. And within that mining law is a roads issue. And I'll tell you what, I've talked a little bit about it. This Highway Construction Act, that Section 8 in the Act of 1866, explains to you your rights over the highways. It also explains, and you're going to see a little hint of this, though I'm not going to argue more to this or actually show you more. But understand, if the federal government does not have jurisdiction over the highways, and the county only has jurisdiction over the highways to the extent that it maintains them, where's the jurisdiction to regulate those highways that were built by other people than the government? Now, I want you to just hold that in a far back category in your mind while we go through this thing. Road closure foes take to the streets. So this is part of the process, and this has been coming down the pike. I can only tell you that we've been feeding information to this county for a couple of years now. And behind the scenes, we've had a handful of dedicated miners doggedly going all through the law, going to meetings and giving the commissioners and the mayors and everybody the law about the highways, the mining law, and the water law. Council chambers at the Baker City Hall overflowed with people on Saturday afternoon as U.S. Senator Ron Wyden hosted a town hall meeting. For those of you that aren't aware of this, and this is shows you the dynamic. Ron Wyden is one of these guys that wants to steal your public lands. And so they're finding out we had made so much noise over there, they better start paying attention. Why? Because it's a political suicide if he doesn't. So this is one of the ramifications of what's going on when you get involved. As was the case last week when Oregon's other U.S. Senator Jeff Merkley visited Baker City, most of the inquiries for Wyden, some frustrated periods of venting, were about the recently announced Travel Management Plan, a TMP, for the Wallowa-Whitman National Forest. Now understand now why Merkley is another one of these thems. He's an encroach, he's a usurper in the office. He's part of this agenda. He's one of these people that encourages conservation over production. He doesn't care about you. But see, the Democrats are starting to show up to this county. Why? Because it's political suicide if they don't. Why? Because there's been such a stink made over there about the lack of coordination with the United States Forest Service that the people called their representatives or their misrepresentatives in to show them that they had better do something. And this starts to play into the whole game. Angry about the TMP, the Travel Management Plan, which will ban motorized vehicles except snowmobiles from about 3,600 miles of roads on 1.3 million acres that are open now, has spread across northeastern Oregon and other parts of the state over the past month. Well, I'm going to tell you, folks, that this is not just the past month. I'm telling you, I'm here to tell you right now, we've been doing this for actually more than 2 years. And so this is the underpinnings of success. Again, the wars, it's just a battle. But we've got it in place now where we've now got the representative, the misrepresentatives involved because they now have a political handle that's going to be taken from them. And they better start looking like they're leading the parade. Opponents gathered Saturday March to march into Baker City streets, many of them holding signs protesting the TMP. Many members of the group attended Wyden's town hall meeting later in the day. "We feel betrayed," Jan Kearns, chair of the Baker County Natural Resources Advisory Committee, told Wyden. Her husband, Tim Kearns, is a Baker County commissioner. Jan Kearns cited motorized access to irrigation diversion dams as just one issue related to the TMP that needs a serious discussion. If you're taking notes, and I hope you are, folks, I really truly believe I have a very special listenership. I don't know that a lot of my listeners listen to a lot of the guessing by gollies. So I hope you're taking notes. I've been told that you do. It's probably why I don't have that many people in my chat, which is fine. You're taking notes. I'd rather have you doing that because this is really more important than chatting, even though I like the chat because it gives me a guide as to what's going on and it's a lot of feedback for the broadcast. What we need to be doing is taking the notes and applying them. And I'm going to suggest to you that this Baker County Commissioner was given information over years about this, and guess what she just talked about here? The wife talks about the irrigation problem. You have to know, Tombstone City is going to be killed, murdered, the whole town, because down in Arizona, the United States Forest Service is going to close off access to the water rights, the maintenance of the flume, the piping. So this is a serious problem here that you have to address. Serious, deadly consequences if you don't step up, because it's coming to a town near you. It probably already has been there, and you don't even know. Stay tuned. We're going to continue covering this. This is probably the most exciting news that we've had recently for the hard work, and it really is an example of what you two can do to stop the nonsense.
For that healthy dose of reality, tune in Behind the Woodshed with Hal Anthony, Sundays at 2 p.m. Central, noon o'clock Pacific, on OracleBroadcasting.com.
And don't forget to bring your can opener, folks. This is what we're talking about today, the can opener. We opened it up. We use it. We open it up. And it causes change. You have to be on point with it. That point is a small place. You don't have to know a ton about the law. You just have to know where to find it. And this is what I try to do Behind the Woodshed. Just bring it to you, and you can grab it up and take the principles I suggest to you and go out and use them. And some people behind the scenes have been doing that on this report here, and really the culmination of a fantastic response, and it really is a very simple process. It just takes a persistent people. And my suggestion is the more of you that get together to do this, the faster this comes about. As we move through this and start experiencing for ourselves, we get the knowledge and how to do it even better and more efficiently. I want to call your attention because it's going to come up with a couple more stories. They talked about, remember, I want to probably call their attention to the amount of roads they said is closed. The newspaper or these articles, excuse me, the newspaper, the Herald here, where the reporting, the Baker Herald, is reporting 3,600 miles were going to be closed. This is going to become important on showing you how you have to look through the media and really analyze what's going on. You need to really be consistent with your critical thought and don't ever become lax. But remember, you'll start hearing this word 3,600 miles as how many roads they were going to close. And then this becomes there's another point that will come up really quickly. But also I want you to pay attention that this is not just about roads. This is about the water to your towns. It's happening in Idaho, too. The federal government, I don't know where these people come from. Well, I think I do know where they come from, but I've never seen them come off the boat to do so. They come from the International Horde of Trespassers through the IUCN.org group of international trespassers, and they implement the biodiversity treaty, and we're going to find out a little bit more about that, too. But you can stop it. All these things that we talk, like Agenda 21, that's another tool of them, domestic oppressors that are now amongst us. They look like officers of the government, but they're not. So 3,600 miles, what they're saying, is going to be closed. They also we're knowing that this is going to affect water to your towns. Now the Forest Service has got a stranglehold on your water. How are you going to live without it? And this, now you start seeing the seriousness of what we've been doing behind the scenes to try and relieve the people of this burden, this oppression. It's an invisible oppression. So we've been dealing some persistent miners have been dealing consistently and tenaciously with the county on many levels and with the representatives on many levels, whether state or federal. The TMP, Travel Management Plan, at the Forest Service Supervisor Monica Schwalbach announced seems not to have been taking the volunteers' work into consideration. Those volunteers were giving information about the forest roads closures and about how they were used in the county. So this is, again, you have to understand, you've got to protect against. This is a dynamic you're hearing, that the Forest Service just stands there and arrogantly denies you. And your volunteers that come to help you will tend to, and this is just probably human nature, will tend to be discouraged. But the people that I work with have absolute knowledge about what's supposed to happen. And we understand that if they're doing that, we're actually winning. And so we don't stop. And we aren't, our emotions don't come into play on this. And this is something you're going to have to guard against. And this is something to get people motivated. They start looking at how big the problem is instead of looking at how simple it is to defeat. You know, if you want to take somebody down, if they're standing on two legs, you just go for their knee. You don't have to go. All you have to do is take out their stability. Take out something that they're required to need. You focus all your attention on the weak spot. And that's kind of what we've been doing behind the scenes. Now, right now, you're not going to hear anything about what we did until one article, and I'll tell you that you'll hear it when it comes up. But this is how many people were involved in this that didn't understand that they were up against somebody, an entity, that don't care about them. And what you have to do in these things is get the sentiment so large that the mass of people cause the change. But what you have to do underneath is you have to educate and bring knowledge to those that have the decisions to make. And here's what starts to happen as we now bring in another county commissioner. People with questions, and this is before the decision was made, people with questions and comments about the plan are being asked to quickly get them to the county representatives. Baker County's representative is Commissioner Fred Warner Jr., someone that the people that I'm in contact with and giving information to are intimately, and I don't mean the way you've been hearing on the network, this network seems to be turning to some kind of an odoriferous place lately, but intimate in the regard of getting down to the city hall and handing them the law and making the meetings and making meetings. And don't let these people, because essentially these commissioners don't really know what the law is. people have become absent of what the requirements are of their duties. And you, and this is not really, you have to be consistent, and you have to be professional, and don't be disrespectful about all this. This has never come down ever all this time where it was a matter of a war footing. We're in a war, but we don't approach it like it is a war. We simply bring persistently the law. So Fred Warner, if you're not understanding anything over there in Baker County, you can get on the internet. You can find Baker County's representative, Fred Warner. You can contact him, and we'll give you, you'll get the email at in the chat room by getting the article later at behindthewoodshed.chattango.com, behindthewoodshed.chattango.com, if you want to jump in now to see the comments or to get those links later in our archive. They'll be there. I put them in at the end so that they stay there for at least the week and a little bit, maybe a little longer. Bottom line here, folks, is that there's people coming together. I guess that's the only thing I can tell you. And I just have to tell you also that I don't really know how to describe it. It's just persistence. It's not that you're sweating, and it's not like you're fighting, and it's not like you're in the fight of your life, but you can't stop pressing, and you have to be on point. These people, these questions and comments that they're asking for, I'm telling you, are typically in error. They are run on emotion instead of run on the facts of this. And this is where we start to bring, we come into our own here in the end as the miners that have been bringing this point through. Now, Fred Warner has been in contact. Another county planner, Holly Kearns, is involved. You can contact her. Forest Service officials and representatives from Baker, Union, and Wallawa counties will meet this week to talk about specific issues. And that was another meeting that became devastating. Again, we had our people in place. I wasn't there. All I'm doing is giving people research and interpretation and statements and focus. And those people are the ones that get the credit. And all the people in those counties that stepped up and did the protest, you're hearing that they walked down the street. They walked down the street and went to their meetings, the town hall meetings that were brought on by people who don't care about them. But they had to do that because there's a political suicide. They were political suicide if they hadn't. And this is the pressure. I'm telling you all this to delineate the pressures that people have to come and put. That's why I say you can do it by yourself, but it's much better when you have a whole bunch of people to help you. And then each one of you, take the task at hand, break it down, and go after your part of it. I tell you about grabbing the rope of the edifice of power. Everyone grabs their spot on the rope, and then you just start tugging for all you're worth, and don't stop tugging until that edifice comes down. Kind of like what you saw Saddam Hussein in Iraq. Because, folks, I've told you, we're living in an open-air prison. We're not much more than an occupied people like that. And you, too, can grab on that rope, and I'm asking you to do so. And thank you for tuning in today, Behind the Woodshed, and appreciate TalkStream Live. They have that dynamic directory. As a network, I'm surprised, you know, folks, I'm not a broadcaster. I just do this information. I just tell you what I'll try to empower you. I don't get into too much of it. I certainly would like to have as many listeners as possible because I believe I bring probably you're not going to find information like it anywhere else. I just know that. And I know it's active. It's experiential knowledge, not just some opinion. Untested and not some guess and by golly education that someone's getting as they move themselves through their life and trying to figure out. I've kind of been through that. I've seen a lot of this stuff. In fact, I'm astonished at how much stuff repeats itself. I'd have never guessed it. 30 years cycles, and here we are talking about the same stuff I thought was already underneath already in the can, on the shelf, stuff we talked about since the 70s and the 80s. All being regurgitated right now as something new that needs to be done. And I'm telling you, ultimately, folks, what you need to do, what needs to be done is you need to go do. And you need to listen to what I'm suggesting. I'm not saying that I have the answer. What I'm saying is you need to listen on how it gets done. And so today is a little bit of that. We have evidence, example to us on how it gets done. And I have some background information, which I hope will make it amplify that. So, but I do appreciate TalkStream Live as far as the network. I didn't, as not being a broadcast, I don't look around to see who's doing what. I was, I got a little glimpse by listening shortly on one of the, I don't know who was even talking about it, on who the actual people are, the companies, the corporations that back up some of these hosts. I was surprised. I didn't realize that we were up against these monster corporations. I'm really that not in touch. It's not my focus. That, to me, focusing on that would be not to focus on what we need to be doing. So I don't get behind a lot of that. But to find out, looking at the TalkStream Live dynamic directory, Oracle's not doing too bad up against a very big corporation that funds, lamestream. What would they say? Lamestream. I just tell you, it's public notice media. It's government media. Public means government in this day and age. What you're listening to is public media. It's government media. It's what the government wants you to know. And Oracle does pretty well against that. And I understand, if I get this right, if you want to join in, I guess you can call what they call voting. If you go into TalkStream Live and click on Oracle and go through that, Oracle, the network, will get another vote in that list. Keep us right where we're at, so that other people can come in. So, and the point is, we want them to come in to listen, and so I'm going to continue this information. Completely the example of how you do it, folks. And you haven't heard the answer. You have to know it's a success. You have to know we're going to be hearing the punchlines being kind of told to you right now. But I want to go through some of the nuts and bolts of how we got to that point. And Fred Warner, one of the county's representatives for this issue, and I'm going to tell you, though, no one has talked about it. What they're doing is what's called coordinate. It's the process of coordination that's required by a federal agency and a state agency, but mostly for this one, it's the federal agency to do. And the counties are coming to terms with how to assert coordination. What we're looking at here is the public comment section. In the public comment section, the reason why, for the most part, the federal agencies don't listen to public comments is because it's too far down the process, and the federal agency only has to take the comments as advice. As you hear me talk last week about the FDA saying 1 million petitioners signing the same petition is only one petition comment. And I told you why. And so I was telling you that you each have to say your say. You have to speak your piece. And I've suggested for people, and I do this to the minors, you don't speak your piece on the same point. You get together with people so that you can make sure that everybody takes a different piece and speaks about it. In other words, you grab a certain part of the rope. Not everybody grabbed the same part of the rope. Think about it, that analogy as I'm thinking about it. Try to have a whole bunch of people grab the same spot on a rope and tug. Isn't that only going to be the effect of a couple people, actually? So you want to grab right next to the next comment before you or after you, or grab somewhere else on the comment pole, on the comment rope. And then you start all tugging on that. What you're doing when you're tugging is you're making sure that your position, your point, gets heard. But public comments are advisory to the agency. They're not coordination power. The process is coordination. And so the county sitting in there, and as the mining district that we started, Jefferson Mining District, to impose, the standard of coordination is three steps ahead in the process. And so this is where the county starts to come of its own. And we've been explaining that to these counties, and in particular this one, particularly for a couple years. So I'm trying to lay out the dynamic behind this simple report. It's just a little report from the Baker Herald about a simple little travel management plan that I'm telling you is the example of what you can do where you live. And this will go out wherever you can find the process for challenging these codes and rules and policies. It's right where you live throughout the United States, whether or not you know that. And those that turn away from this broadcast or don't think it's pertaining to them, all of those people are going to be sadly surprised. But we are really right around the corner here, folks. It's right on us. We've been overwhelmed. The tsunami's on us, and there's only a few of us on the boards. I'm asking more of you to get on your surfboards and start paddling. That's a lot of work to get on and then ride that tsunami, but that's what we're up to. There's been a big momentum over decades to come and take our land away, to come and take away our life. You see it all around us. I've been talking about it for years. The hurricane now, the wall of the hurricane is upon us. It's going about to destroy us if we don't do what we need to do to protect ourselves. But, and we are the determiners of that. And this is the example of what people do. They peacefully protested in the streets on their way to a town hall meeting, forced by the sheer pressure of the of that will against the misrepresentative, the representatives not acting in their best interests by bringing these things forward, and then educating commissioners underneath the scenes to say, listen, the county in this regard, in this particular place, has all the power. And they didn't believe that up until this last week. Now, Warner goes on to say, we needed to take a look at the legislation as he's now coming to terms with this. He's saying, we have legislation to look at. And he says, enough is enough. And I ask you, when is it, folks? I'm telling you it's time, but have you considered that? Enough is enough. And to that, before that meeting, the crowd burst into applause. Everybody wants to protect our forest, but we can't protect them to death. In other words, the death of the people. And there's no provision for this in the law. And so what you have to do is step up, protect yourself. There's a provision given to you in the law to protect yourself. And if you don't step up, they don't think you're there. But you have to stay on point of what that protection is. And now the misrepresentative speaks up. It just struck me as an approach that potentially has an upside. I couldn't see much of a downside, Wyden said about the idea. The idea. He's either completely out of the loop, which I doubt, or he is clueless. And I doubt it. I doubt that he's clueless because he keeps bringing bills that take away your standard of living. Takes away your life, takes away your livelihood. The effort could magnify individual opponents' voices, which would make it a good way to potentially influence decision-making. Well, influence decision-making is the problem, because that's where they are in the public comment. I'm telling you, you step into your positions of power, go to your county, and say, no, you stop giving us an influence, and I want you to be sitting at the table and make this agency meet the demands of public, the people's demands and the law. That's what we're doing on the minor side. Wyden agreed with Warner that laws governing the forest need to be reviewed and potentially changed. Well, that's a dangerous statement. He wants to change them so that they don't have the power. That's Wyden. And there's a big threat against the 1872 coming down the pike for those miners that are listening in. I told you it was coming, and here it is. They're going to try and change legislation to eliminate the 1872 in favor of the Mineral Leasing Act of 1920. They completely disregard the law, but they're going to do it anyway if you don't step up. And it's all about the same thing. It's all about the same thing. I mean, I talk about it all every week, actually. So I can't be faulted for not telling everybody and not telling you where the problem was. I'm asking you all to get up after you hear this information, take your notes, and run it down to your local government, or start yourself a local government in a mining district, or engage a local taxing district like your irrigation districts, and start this process to hold the agency's feet to the fire over their mandate. That Wyden says this is a good idea. He's completely negating the mandate. And that's up to you to insert. So they got an earful. Wyden got an earful. They're now coming running to the table to say, we believe this is a good idea. We're going to need to protect the people's rights more. It didn't matter to them when they wrote the legislation to steal it away and allow the United States Forest Service to become members of the IUCN. All that doesn't matter. But now they come and tell you how much they're helping you out. You have to call that out, too. It's all right there for us to do, folks. And this is a big example of how to do it. You've got the county commissioners involved. The people behind the county commissioners, which are us, giving them the law, is giving them the backbone they need to step up. And it may very well save not only the roads, but the water of a lot of places over there. Stay tuned.
You can whoop ass behind the woodshed with Hal Anthony, Sundays at 2 p.m. Central, noon o'clock Pacific on OracleBroadcasting.com. And don't forget your can opener.
So we brought our can opener, folks. We did it for a couple of years, and then we got people motivated over time, ranchers. We've got people over in eastern Oregon that are miners that are involved with ranchers and farmers and all this other stuff, and they're involved by themselves. They're all coming to terms. This other Democrat, Merkley, he's also wants to withdraw tons of land from the public land. You know, folks, this is just killing people. This is a withdrawing land, the forest, from productive use. Kills. This is literally a murder, and people haven't really identified this. When you again, when you can close somebody's water, turn off someone's water spigot, you have control over their life, their very decisions. Merkley gets. We're going to go through a couple stories real quick here to explain. I want to point out some of this just to show you the background information of what happens here, how fast it all turned around quickly too. Because remember, this TMP was submitted, was put out there into the public for public consumption in March already. The people are still not, they're still coming to terms with that now as they have the town hall meetings. Merkley gets an earful about forest road closures. Understand they call it forest road closures, but these are actually highways. And I want you to listen for that number again that they're talking and reporting as one thing. Understand this Merkley guy is a misrepresentative who wants to close the forest anyway, but he's having to come to talk about it because he's really, people are really motivated and really not liking about what his support was. And so now he's got to do the politician thing and do the fancy pants dance about how he's now thinking this is a great deal. But scores of area residents came to see United States Senator Jeff Merkley, Democrat of Oregon, who hosted a town hall meeting Monday afternoon at the Senior Center in Baker City. Much of the meeting was devoted to people discussing and asking questions about the travel management plan for Wallowa Whitman National Forest. The TMP, Travel Management Plan, which was released in mid-March, will ban motor vehicles, except snowmobiles, from about 3,600 miles of forest roads. The TMP is scheduled to take effect in June. There it is again, the name, same number, 3,600. I won't read too much more. I want to get moving on with this. Now, since the TMP issues, the plan issues, they now have an appeal process because the plan, supposedly, they took into consideration all the demands of coordination and the governments that they had to deal with, and they've taken all the consideration of all the public comment as advisory, and they came out with this plan which closed a certain amount of roads and affected now apparently the water. Certainly, I can't imagine that right there, facially, we have a violation. But before, no one stepped up to make this point. And I'm just going to, I got to keep telling you, behind the scenes, the miners are making this point. Why? Because the mining law has water rights, has highway rights, has access to minerals, has public land possession, and private, actually public land transfer and restoration to domain in private holding. Highways are dedicated public domain. They're no longer public land. In other words, they're no longer under public land management because they're not public land. They're public domain. But now they've discussed in this time coming up to this last week, appealing the TMP. So the Baker Herald is doing an interesting and cool thing. They're saying, listen, folks, you got to. This is the process. They didn't tell them what the process was. This is the next step. They just tell them the next step. So you see, you have a little glimpse of what you need to do. The Forest Service, in common with most bureaucracies, strives to convince us as members of the public that it truly cares what we think about its actions. Witness the cavalcade of meetings and open houses and, of course, public comment periods, which proliferate like dandelions whenever the agency is about to something in the woods. This is written by a Baker City Herald editorial board. So this is the entity talking about their news in their local area. Just recently, a lot of northeastern Oregon residents have reacted to the Forest Service's putative interest in public opinion with healthy skepticism or, in many cases, with outright disgust. And here's where they go with this, as I'm just trying to cut through this. They want to inform the people, which I think is a great thing to do, that they have an input. And they start to, by discussing this TMP. Yet the district ranger rejected two alternatives that would have left open the motor vehicles 2,000 miles of 3,500 miles more or 3,500 miles more than that will be open under the alternative plans they picked. And I'm bringing this point about the alternatives, that the district ranger had a list of alternatives they created based on this input, and they selected one of the alternatives. In other words, so they're handing you what you're going to be able to appeal to, and that's really all you get. So the point here is that not only is the Herald misinterpreting this because they think it's going to give back 2,000 miles of the 3,500 miles, they say, even though every other story said 3,600 miles. And I'm telling you, watch that number, because it's not that number either. There's another deception in this. But they think that the Forest Service can hold back 1,500 miles of highway in their plan. The initial reaction of some critics to Schallenbach's decision is, in effect, to revive the 2007 petition. We believe there's a better approach. This is the paper, which is to say the approach more likely to accept to keep some of those roads open to motor vehicles. The position that the miners were holding behind the scenes is, no, you can't close any of those highways, just to advance to you what was going on. The request by the paper was, and listen to the process here, because this is the next step after those plans issue, to be eligible for an appeal, they're calling for the appeal to this plan. According to federal law, a person needs only to have submitted, quote, now listen, folks, this is what I tell you, most people don't do this. They make comments, but they're emotionally based. They're not substantively based. And this word comes right up here. They aren't based on the point of fact of the law and the demand upon the agencies. And so that's the comments I make behind the scenes to give to people. Are these more substantive comments? Most people talk emotionally. You can't do that. You got to talk on the law and on the need and the point that's recognized. But the paper asks and says, quote, federal law requires, quote, substantive oral and written comments to the Forest Service about the TMP. So when you just whine about the fact that they're closing the roads, that's not a substantive comment. And we'll get to the point of what the substantive comment is that we submitted that turned the whole thing, seems to have turned the whole point and given a backbone to the county, essentially. It culminated 2 years of work in giving the information to all these people that really didn't know but were in positions of duty to the people. And so they're asking for substantive oral and written comment. And I found that the paper did a pretty cool thing here to do that. It lets people know at least whether or not they're behind the scenes or not. Behind the times on this or not, that they can still move in. Because if you move in, then you have what they call standing. And if you don't move in to make a comment that's on point, you don't have standing. So it kind of runs right by you. Well, after these meetings, an interesting thing pops up. So we talked about the two Democratic senators or representatives, and now the Republican, after the meetings, vociferous, I should say, as I'm told. After these meetings, one of the Republican representatives speaks up. Now, I understand now he's sitting on an election year. And so you understand the political dichotomy here, what's going down, the political pressure that might be on. Greg Walden, he's writing a letter to an appropriations committee that says that the plan needs to start over. Think about that. Think about the change in a week, folks. After a mid-March submission of the plan, within a month, a month and a half, the people got together and has a congressman step up and say, there were major failings in this. Our Oregon Congressman Greg Walden is urging the United States Forest Service to start over with its plan to ban motorized vehicles from 3,600 miles of roads. Again, 3,600 miles. Remember this number. I'm telling you, that's another fraudulent number. They're trying to encroach as much as they can. No one's made the right number yet, but we'll hear it. We'll hear it out of the district ranger here in a bit. In closing those roads, it was a wrong. Walden, the Republican whose second congressional district includes the Wallowa Whitman, isn't just giving lip service to an issue that has angered many local residents and prompted a protest march Saturday in Baker City that involved more than 100 people. There you are, 100 people come together and start the pitchforks and torches. Well, I didn't see those in the pictures, but you get what my point is. They weren't going to tell you, enough is enough. And each one of them, for whatever reason, they went in there. The congressman had proposed attaching what's known as a rider onto a bill that includes money to operate the Forest Service in the fiscal year of October 1st. Another element, folks. Another element arises in this whole issue. Your congressman could write a bill to stop funding this oppression. And that brings on a whole other discussion. But right now, we're focused on what we do and how we cause effect to stop agencies oppressing you. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Good day, folks. This is Hal Anthony coming to you from behind the woodshed, where we intend to open a can of whoop-ass on those misguiding government, mistreating our people, and to stop the subversion of freedom. Out here behind the woodshed, we are not bashful to lay on the wealths of truth that they will teach the lessons to stop government trespass against us, because sparing this rod will most certainly get us the shaft.
That's right, the situationally aware, action-oriented intelligence center of revolutionary engagement. That's what we've been talking about today, absolutely. It has a absolutely fantastic outcome when you do so. We got proof of it today. Thanks for tuning in to Behind the Woodshed, top of the hour. And for those of you that come through TalkStream Live, appreciate that. Appreciate the vote of confidence. I guess that's what ends up going if you go through TalkStream Live to come through to the back of the woodshed. And we'll get your bring your can opener, though. You know, I haven't said this for a long time, but this is a BYOB behind the woodshed. BYOB, bring your own brain. You're going to need it as we move along. This is not for the weak of heart. This is not for those just searching, contemplating their navel. This is for those serious. I don't know what else to tell you. It's action-oriented protection. If you don't do that, we're going to lose. It's over. You might as well just forget it. You might as well know. You lay down and you make any excuse not to engage wherever. I'm pointing out one thing today. But there's lots. You make any excuse, and I can only tell you it's coming around. The legislation's all there. It looks like it's a done deal. And so you're just going to let them take you over. So anybody who's you want to call yourself a patriot, or you think you're protecting yourself, or you're going to stand on your rights, or you think the Constitution's going to help you, it's over. Forget it. Because the tools are there, and you're not using them already. Already, if you're not using them already, they've got a bunch of steps on you in this race. And I've said all we got to do is be in that race, and I think we'll be doing all right. Now, understand, this is what we've been talking to about last hour. This was only 100 people doing this damage to the politicians. Can you imagine, like I was telling you, as we broke away, the Congress has the... I'm not really telling a lot of people anything new. I want to remind you, though, Congress funds these agencies to oppress you. Walden is going to writes a letter to an appropriations writer to defund the Forest Service, where there are places that do not like what it did, and the Forest Service doesn't comply with something they aren't mentioning, which I'll tell you is the coordination process. Do you understand what 100 people have just done here? It doesn't take that many on the national level, locally. I'm asking you to consider, regardless of how much we feel it doesn't seem to do any good, on point, folks. Not the generic, oh, you're messing me up. On point, you say, no, this Forest Service has not been following the law, did not take into consideration the mandate of coordination, did not actually take under... good utility, the advice it was given under public comment, and I want you to put a rider in the next bill to defund them. And while you're at it, why don't you write a bill to defund the crime we're putting across the world and all the wars that we're going out to beat people down on this fraud called the War on Terror. You can add that. That's a little addition that you might be able to throw in there. But on point, folks, this is how just 100 people coming together on point made all the difference to actually cause a congressman to consider and write a letter to put a rider which would defund them. Now, this is putting that chip on the table. And this is after this is passed now. So you see, if the people hadn't risen up, this would have been one more thing that a federal agency did that just did. It passes as law because nobody stopped it. Are you going to finally step up and protect your stuff and require that they stop the oppression against you? That's the question. We have that in us to do, because the system is set up that they're presumed to be lawful in all their actions until you say, wait a minute, no you're not, no you haven't, and enough is enough. Stay tuned. You're Behind the Woodshed. I'm Hal Anthony. And thank you for tuning in today to Behind the Woodshed. And Drew, appreciate you taking your time out of planting, folks, and getting your crops in. Beautiful time to do that. I told you to do it here last week. Well, now it's the dark of the moon. Time to get that stuff in the ground. Give it a couple weeks to start getting a little bit of energy boost as the full moon comes on, for those of you who pay attention to subtleties. But, I've got blisters on my hands. It's a lot of work, but it's going to be rewarding. If I can just keep the garden raiders out, I've already got hit by the deer. And listen to your intuition, folks. I had intuition moments just hours before they came and raided my garden for all my seed plants. So we're going to have to now wait through the season. I won't be able to plant late with the seeds I get this year. And it's just one of those things you got to deal with. And you learn by experience. And even the experience, if you don't listen to yourself, you can still get caught. So get it in the ground. It's time to do it for the most part. We did find a little bit of ground, a little bit too wet, but not so bad. We'll deal with that. Prepping the ground up, getting all the seeds going to go underground, all the ground crops. So this time, let's get it going. Let's be self-reliant to at least provide some of our food, if not a lot of our food. And just interesting stuff. I got a little project going in myself. I got, started with 7 black beans. Black beans are kind of an interesting little bean. Kind of intrigued me for some reason. And I planted 7 beans I found in the back of a pickup. Happened to fall out of a bag, I guess it was going to the dump, about 3 years ago. Started out with those 7 beans, and now I've got an experiment going. Doesn't have a control. It's just one of those observational things. What does it take? How long does it take to make enough beans to supply yourself if you have to? And so that's one of those things you want to look into the future, too. See, it's going to take some time. Well, this is the third year. Can't tell you I can feed myself. But from 7 beans this year, I have 1,000 seeds to plant. And I'm getting a return of about 16 to 1 right now. And that's on some pretty soil that it's actually granite. It's a decomposed granite. It's not really soil. So I'm doing well. 16 to 1. Mother Nature provides 16 to 1 in these black beans. Now, I don't have the space to keep going, and I haven't planted every seed because I don't have the space. But it's an interesting object lesson on what you can do for yourself. And Mother Nature will provide if you just husband it correctly. 16 to 1 magnification. And this year I only had, 1,000 seeds. It's about 2 pounds. Yes, I count them. It is somewhat of an experiment. And so it only lasted maybe an afternoon or two. But you see, in 4 years, I would have enough seed to start feeding people. And you can too. So enough on that. Dark of the moon, time to plant. It's the time of the year. Go for it. Walden's advocacy of the heartened the opponents of a TMP. We believe the coming restrictions of motor vehicles will curtail recreation and concentrate vehicles on a relatively small handful of roads. Now, understand what the word here. They do another discussion here on what the plan is supposed to be participate with. It's supposed to regard only recreation. Nobody understands this and really pays attention to this very finite authority that the Forest Service has now expanded to include all the roads, all the highways. But see, I'm not persuaded. So our comments behind the scenes are going right on the point. But we see the truth. And if we know how to read the public notice, they'll tell you what's going on and where the errors are. But this is Walden talking, too. So you see him walk. I see him straddling the fence. It's either ignorance or it's straddling the fence of something he knows he actually should be talking better to. On the other side of the debate, residents who wanted Schwalenbach to ban motor vehicles from more roads contend Walden is favoring one segment of his constituency over another. I will suggest to you that's always what you'll hear from those that don't have the law. What the answer for Walden is well, I'm just showing you what the law is, and they didn't complete it. And that's essentially what he says. Walden, in a Monday letter, addressed Kent Knottington, the Forest Service's head forester for the Pacific Northwest region. He wrote that the TMP, which Schrollenbach announced on March 15th, fails to reflect the concerns of the northeastern Oregon residents about the effects of banning motor vehicles from roads. Folks, that statement is right out of the mandate to coordinate, that they shall make a decision, a plan, or a demonstration, or a project that reflects, actually is consistent with the needs of the people and the law. This statement is right out of coordination. Start over, Walden wrote. Put people in charge who will value the suggestions of Eastern Oregon citizens. That's the comment side. I don't know why he doesn't talk on the coordination side. And this shows me there's a failure right here in this guy. But it doesn't matter. There was such a concerted outpouring that they're having to do the fancy pants dance now and bring it back to what the law does require. And now Walden is empowered now. He's been given the notice that the people see the point. And so now he can start doing his thing too. That's another thing you see, I notice in these politicals. All these politicians don't want to stick their neck out. But now that he's got a lot of people on point, now that they've caught the problem, now that the presumption has been going to be refuted, he jumps in like he's the leader of the band. And this is strong stuff, actually, when you look at what he's starting. Start over. You have to understand this plan and all the money that was spent to do it over 6 years has come to a start over phase because the agents, the employees of the Forest Service, and I'll tell you, it starts from the top. It starts from Obama, actually, and it's not because of Obama. It's because they're moving an agenda that Obama is engaged with. I tell you, this has been long before the unqualified one. But it's coming through. It sifts on through and down to the bottom, and the coordination requires that the local governments be given a seat at the table and that the agencies meet the needs of the governments and the needs of the people. And they absolutely have to meet the law. And Walden now sees that you didn't do something, and I now can point that out because I got a whole bunch of people that know it too. Walden also spoke with Connaughton on the phone on Monday, wrote in the letter that many locals have told him they were largely, if not entirely, ignored by the United States Forest Service, that this amounts to an assault on good process and the public's ability to enjoy their natural resources. This is unacceptable. An assault now, folks. This is an agency assaulting. I say it's attempted murder where they're closing off your water. I say it's attempted murder where they're attempting to close off your livelihood. That's up to you to decide. But I tend to think it's even harsher words. Why? Because I have the law that says that the Forest Service had no right to touch non-recreational access. How about that? I'll tell it to you that way. Non-recreational access. Why? Because they told you in the first part of this this letter, that they were supposed to discuss recreational access. Folks, let me remind you, the granted access is not for recreation. It's for lawful productive use. But you don't hear anything like that talked about here. So, know that we were looking at this the entire time. Know that there's something that you have to be aware of in your psyche, in your interpretation, in the law, that you have to know to cut through all the smoke and understand what the actual and real indication about this is. They won't tell you. They won't come out in the media. Even the representatives will only go enough. You have to know the whole story. That's what I'm trying to tell you week after week behind the woodshed. Week after week, I bring you the backstory, if you will. The story behind the story, that's actually the law and the requirements that when you apply them, 100 people cause the congressman to go ahead and write a rider, which may take away funding. Now, I don't know if it's going to go anywhere, but you're cause and effect here, folks. Stay tuned. Yeah. That's right. Thank you for tuning in to Behind the Woodshed. And we're going through today an example of what success is and what to do. Success, at least on the battle-by-battle level. But I can tell you what's behind the scenes of this is going to be much more powerful. This is going to be, if the people continue to move this thing along the way it's been presented behind the scenes, it will be a ripple effect. It's an example. In fact, I was explaining it to the mining district last Friday, the meeting. I said this is an example of what. See, the people that were doing this is doing comment period. The mining district gets to do coordination. This is an example of what the power of that district is. When the people can shut it down, 100 people can shut it down. It only takes one mining district to do it once they engage, once they get enough miners to step up. So those of you that are miners around the Jefferson Mining District, I'm asking you again. All it takes is to get involved. Contact Jefferson Mining District. You got to get on the internet. You'll find there's a website. Get in touch with the chairman and tell them you want to get on a work group. If you've got a travel management plan that's being implemented or is implemented or going to be implemented, you too can become a force and effect to stop it if it becomes a violation to your livelihoods, your access. And that's not just the miners stand for everybody's access. That's the whole point about some of this mining law. The miners really are a front line. I told you they're the line in the sand, if I can use sand as a foundation. They're the line demarcation for what these rights are. So here we had all this last hour been going through. The people jumped up and they defended their rights. I know we had our stuff going for years before this was coming down with the law. I know the Forest Service, the Rangers know all about the law because they've been told about it. Notwithstanding all of that at the time, Schwalbach decides that they're going to come up with a TMP that steals the roads and closes off even to the water access. That gets the 100 people, at least in the protest, upset. They go to these town hall meetings called by representatives. This is also unprecedented for those of you that haven't seen this. This is unprecedented. This isn't normally what happens. Now, you'll hear the town hall meetings for people that are running for office, but this is while they're in the office and having to deal with the people that are wanting to carry those pitchforks and torches or about ready to. We hear on both sides of the aisle, and I don't believe that's the case. I believe they're just different wings of the same bird of prey, Democrats and Republicans. This needs to be stopped. But notwithstanding all that, then Walden steps up and says, you need to start over. You failed to meet coordination. I'm going to put it that simply. I paraphrase what he actually said. And I find it amazing why he just didn't say that, because then it would give everybody the knowledge. Maybe that's the answer. But he on and on and talk and talk and talk instead of just going on point. As I tell you, you don't have to just state the whole encyclopedia of law. All you have to do is state the relevant part. And that's essentially what we do behind the scenes. After all this scrutiny, Schwalbach in March 15th comes up and puts out the travel management plan. A bunch of people step up to protest it. Walden writes his chip on the table, says, well, I'm going to put a rider to take away your funding for not listening to the people. And within days, Schwalbach stops the clock on the TMP. Wallowa Whitman National Forest plan to ban motor vehicles for 3,600 miles. Remember the fraud. I'm telling you, this is a fraud. I'm going to point out to you now, out of her words, 3,600 miles. It was supposed to ban 3,600 miles of roads. Later this spring has hit a speed bump of sorts. And I'm going to tell you, folks, if we can get the miners to continue, they have just driven this thing off a cliff. They're never getting it back. But this is how the paper discusses it, because I don't think they really understand the power of what's going on. It didn't. The power was showing you the people can have a comment and a protest. But I'm telling you, once you get ahead of that into the coordination, this would not even come to the table. A speed bump is how they say it. They've had to stop the clock on the appeal process for that TMP. Why? Because they have to withdraw the TMP. There's no thing. There's no TMP to appeal to now. Major victory here. And this impediment, this so-called speed bump, was thrown up by the very forest official who unveiled the plan March 15th. See how they take credit for it now? Amazing how they do this. Listen, watch the dynamic in these stories. And for those of you that are really interested and really need this knowledge, it'll be in the links will be in the chat room, behindthewoodshed.chattango.com, behindthewoodshed.chattango.com. Anybody want to comment to me or talk to me about this stuff on email, markonthebeast@yahoo.com, markonthebeast@yahoo.com. You'll see this also, get to the chat room or get on the Oracle broadcasting website. Go to chat room. It'll kick you to the chat room. My link, there's a link there also. Go to Jefferson Mining District, or you can get through to the the chairman there, you too can become an effect that causes them to take all the credit for your hard work. But guess what? That plan has been put on hold. 6 years of wasted money of them trying to force this agenda through to close out highways has been put on hold after that letter. Amazing dynamic. The vehicle ban was scheduled to take effect June when the Forest Service makes available the public free map showing the which roads and trails are open to motor vehicles. Which roads and trails are open? No one's questioning whether they have a right to do that. And the main problem they were talking about, the people were upset because they didn't get those maps ahead of time. In my mind, it's irrelevant. And you'll understand why a little bit more when I get to it in the next segment about why. How much power we have that we are not administering. That these people, this Schwalbach, looked right past what Walden says you need to start over on. You need to take consideration of the local suggestions, is what he calls it. Fascinating what they're doing here. Let me get down to the full text of their letter, because this is where some of the fraud comes out, but a disclosure that you need to listen very carefully. Well, when I say you need to critically think about what you have to learn to discern, there's a whole lot of stuff behind that. And I don't know if people appreciate what I'm telling them on these broadcasts. And I always feel rushed for some reason. I'm trying to figure out how to feel more comfortable in a 2-hour slot with all that I have to really say. A lot goes unsaid. And I get a few people come in the chat room, they have no clue. They're mentally defective when they start talking about other things than what I'm talking about, like claiming that, I'm talking that somehow you talk about the Jews, the Hitler, all this other stuff. I wonder what the heck's going on with these people. Now, I know what the whole point about that is, but these are mentally defective people that would do that. They'd even come to listen to me and then jump in a chat room and talk ridiculousness. But this is the element that's out there, and this same element actually is in the government at some level. And so you learn to deal with it, and you learn actually just to ignore it. And you focus on, I'm telling you here, you focus on the point. And so here comes this letter. She's taking credit now for the papers giving her credit for killing this thing, stopping the clock on it. When in fact it has nothing to do with that. This is an admission that they failed to meet the requirements of coordination, although it'll never be said. I'm telling you, that's what this is. She writes, it has been 1 month since the Wallawa National Forest released its travel management decision. Since then, there has been considerable public interest and debate over various aspects of the plan, as if there was no interest at all, folks, before this. How absent is this discussion already? As I have listened to the many people who are commenting on the plan, it has become apparent that there is a good bit of confusion as well as some concerns that would benefit from more discussion. Because of these concerns, I have decided to withdraw the travel management decision and stop the clock on the appeal process that is underway. Folks, that's not a stop the clock. She's withdrawn the decision. Took 6 years to get there, and she found out, she's just been told, you got caught not being compliant with the law. This is not some small thing that a bunch of people in Baker just did. The forest needs to develop a travel management plan for the public motorized recreation, but I want to be sure the various options for moving forward are considered in a constructive manner. What does she say there? The forest needs to develop a travel management plan for public motorized recreation. Isn't that special, folks? That's her only authority. I want to know how in the heck she has jurisdiction to decide granted highways if her authority is over recreation. And thank you for tuning in today. Behind the Woodshed, as we're touching upon and going through the example of what you can do to become to protect yourself against the incursions of the federal government in one aspect regarding the public lands and public domain. There's two distinct opportunities here to see and protect from. You now heard the admission that the Forest Service is supposed to make a plan over recreational motorized recreation. And I wanted, I seeded your thought before by saying, well, what about those granted highways under the 1866? Now, let me jump back for a moment. Right at the same time that, about the same time that Walden saying start over, we hear from Fred Warner, back out of the commissioner out of Baker County. And this is where I can tell you there's some, we won't get credit for this, but this is where we were talking to this very man and other people, all the commissioners actually, and state representatives and the county road department, and the water master and all these people about the water rights that are within within the people and the road rights that are within the county. And right before this, the decision to pull back this plan, in the paper is a discussion about where this authority, where that there's another authority that sits to be recognized by the federal government. Right as the point of Walden's discussion, the question was whether or not that would actually have any effect. But then Warner stepped in the same article and says, well, the county has another option. And this is where we sit silently as an authority, and you too can do this. In other words, it's not. This is about getting the law forward and the truth about it out. And we're not looking for. We're not worried about getting our name in the lights. What we want to see is the effect of what our work is, and we want to stop this oppression that's been putting on people. Warner says the Congress passed the law in 1866. This is out of his words, not mine. What it says in effect is that any travel route that was in use before the federal government took an action that changed how the land along the route is managed, designating a national forest, is the relevant action in the case of the TMP, must remain open to the public. And remember, the comment was there was already thousands of miles closed. Already there's a violation. But this law sits there that's being not recognized by the agencies, and until just this week wasn't fully appreciated by the county. Counties across the West, he goes on to say, including Baker County, have cited RS-2477. It's a revised statute. This is what restates the 1866. I have problems with the RS-2477 in any restatement of the law, because the grant is where the actual power is. Notwithstanding that, he cites the RS-2477 to ensure the public has access to the roads that predate the creation of the Forest Service in 1905. The problem with that is he hasn't fully appreciated what happened in 1901 in Oregon, which brings us up, and then what 1976 Federal Land Policy Management Act says, and the courts have said that since everything prior to 1976 is a public highway. If it was constructed underneath this RS-2477, which is really the Section 8 of the Act of 1866, the construction of highways is hereby granted. That's all it says. No limitation, no regulation, no mode, no nothing. You just go do it for a lawful purpose. Now, Fred Warner says that he's identifying, too, that this law pre-existed the Forest Service. And he's actually pointing out, although it's an inferior argument, he points out that it pre-existed the government, the Forest Service completely. How could they have jurisdiction? Paper goes on to say that Warner believes that there are several roads in Baker County which are slated to be closed to the motor vehicles for the TMP that could be deemed by a vote of the commissioners as public rights away under RS-2477. We are going to exert that authority, Warner says. We are ready to push the envelope on the historic routes. Now, enter the minor again here, folks. They had a meeting after that comment. And I wrote a single sheet piece of paper to show that Oregon law does not require the county to declare anything. Oregon law has been made back in 1901 before the Forest Service that says any existing highway down to the trail constructed underneath the act, not protested by the federal government for in existence for 10 years, is deemed a public road. Under the Oregon law, the county can accept maintenance of those roads, but that is not required. And the non-acceptance of that by the county does not diminish in any way the rights of the constructors underneath that grant. This is powerful, powerful stuff. How are you supposed to condition something that's not within your power, even as a county? And that's what the miners have been submitting, and that's what just came to fruit. The fruits of this awareness now are in the county, that the roadmaster has known for quite a few years, and now the rest of the commissioners know. They control, by the process developed by state law, the disposition of those lands, and the Forest Service has no authority on 100% of every highway constructed. In other words, 3,500 miles that are under closure right now is a crime by the Forest Service. Their proposition to do what? Now, how many roads have we been talking? They said 3,600 miles would be affected. But let me read the next few sentences of this letter. Now, we jump back to the future where she's now thrown this back off, said, we're going to stop the clock. No, she withdrew the plan. 6 years of wasted time and money. And it's wasted because they didn't follow the law. And she talks about, let's go back to the sentence, that they're, again, their sole review and jurisdiction and authority, it was over public motorized recreation. And she says so. The forest needs to develop a travel for the public motorized, a travel plan for the public motorized recreation. But I want to be sure the various options moving forward are considered in a constructive manner. Very interesting word she throws in. I believe that by taking the line time now to allow for further dialogue and consideration regarding the concerns that have been raised, we will develop a better outcome in the long run. Folks, this is after 6 years of wasted time when she was supposed to do that from the beginning. As I think about that, maybe we need to ask for someone to ask for her resignation. Some of the key concerns, including the following. Listen carefully, folks. The main concern here is there has been significantly number different numbers bantered about regarding how many miles of road would be designated, how many miles of road designated open for public motorized recreational use and how many are being closed to motor vehicles. The number question is a challenging one because there are different ways of looking at the situation. For instance, there are 9,000 miles on the Wallowa-Whitman National Forest landscape, special words, 9,000 miles, but only about 4,700 miles are considered open to the public. Do the math, folks. That means that there's, 4,300 that are closed already, not 3,600. This is already happening. Now, my question then is, if you listened carefully, she said that they were talking about recreational use, but then she said that they would be closed to motor vehicles. That's without the conditional recreational use, which means she is agreeing that she can trespass upon this grant in a statement, and that one of the issues is not going to regard those granted lands, so she's still going to be a problem. Here's the point. The numbers don't add up. The process didn't add up. She's withdrawn the plan, and we have now shown by one page that there is no Forest Service authority in these granted highways, that what the actual point is, as you hear, the Forest Service's authority only exists as extensions to the existed granted highway system. These extensions to the granted highways are the recreational uses. In other words, existing highways are on highway. They don't have authority over those. They have authority over off-highway, the extensions connecting to those constructed highways under the Act of 1866 that Oregon law does not require acceptance by the county, but as by operation of law, it becomes a public road where the federal government did not protest the existence of that road for 10 years. That's the law, folks. This is how you can destroy this whole argument. I'm understanding that the various cities that were going to have their access taken away to stop their water are now confronting the USFSF with this new knowledge and are telling them, if you don't fill in your tank traps and remove your gates, we're going to do it. So this isn't just about some federal appropriations bill, and this isn't about some plan. This is about people becoming aware of the power they hold and now stepping up and saying, enough is enough. Here's the law to back it up. You go home. Don't steal our land. Don't steal our water. Leave us alone. You can do that, folks. And thank you for tuning in today. And thank you to all you that have tuned in long as you can and then have to go do other things. I do appreciate that you take your time to listen. And you know the archive, as I saw, reminded, the Grimner 9 was in the chat. You should Archer Report over there on reallibertymedia.com. That's a Grimner Archer Report. I think about 1 o'clock or so possibly. But he jumped out, said he couldn't, he'd listen on the archive. Reminds me to tell you, there is that archive. Pass it around, send it in an email. You see, here's something I'm telling you that's important, or a snippet, even if it's a snippet of it. Say, if I'm saying that little amount, maybe you should send me an email and tell me that. But if you find lots of what you're hearing good or informative, if nothing else, and can you be used and you put in your toolbox, don't hesitate to put the link to that that you'll find in the archive or even in the chat room. I put it there also. Go to the archive and Behind the Woodshed in the archive and send that link over to an email. And then to designate what part of the show to listen to, because once they download it, they can scrub to it. And it quickens the ability to get the information if there's some other parts that are not necessarily interesting to everybody. So that's part of the reason why I come on and I can only make up what I need to talk to you about. And I'm trying to take certain things and that become more powerful and hopefully things you can really use. This issue does not end, though. We see the powers in the county, we see the powers in the people if we know to assert it, and assert it properly. Again, the substantive comments, on point. The point that the miners are making is that there's no power for even the county to diminish the granted properties. And this is what you have to learn about these laws that are sitting there to use. You can embrace them, and you can use them, and it just means persistence. And again, my hat's off. If I was wearing one, I would wear one. Yeah, maybe later, maybe last night, but right now I don't have one to take off. But if I had my hat on, I'd be taking it off to all the people in Baker County, and particularly the miners that I've been working with, just doggedly on these people. Don't give them an inch. Respectfully, don't give them an inch. You know, let's see. I got a phone call here. I've been waiting a long time. I hope they're not just a listener. I don't have any indication. I'll just go there and find out. 862. You're on the air. Appreciate the listen. And what do you have for us behind the woodshed? What's your name?
Bobby. Mr. Anthony, I called last week. We were at the end of the program. Unfortunately, I didn't get a lot of that information. But I have it, and I'll go back to your archives to get it. Also, in my state, they tend to be passing laws that affect the ability of you to actually renew your driver's license so that you have access to the road in that way. So I did want to get a little bit of information on that. I know you said it's not generally a privilege in the past that you can actually, you need a driver's license. That's something that they kind of granting you. But I wanted to know, how does this affect that? How could I turn back this situation here?
Well, if you and this will be a whole lot other, a whole more in-depth discussion. So don't just run to your local court or your authority with this information. It's a very deep study first. You have to look at how the roads were constructed, where the title resides. Is it in the people, the public, as they call it, the public, or is it in a private party, or is it in the government? And what you're going to find, and you can see the example of this on the west side of the Missouri, Mississippi. That area. That's where this highway law comes in very clearly so you understand what's going on. The public owns the roads. Nobody owns the roads, actually. Everybody owns them, but nobody owns it. It's called a usufruct, U-S-U-R-F-U-C-T. And New Jersey, get on the East Coast, it starts to be altered a bit. So you got to look very careful. And I know they have a lot of toll roads over there. But however, if you find that a road has been constructed under a public right to do so, and the people could do it, that becomes a public utility that's not a utility more than it's a usufruct that no one else can obstruct. And what you're going to find in your state is you'll find one phrase in all your state codes that say that the right to travel there's a definition for traveling on the highway, and it's a right as a matter of right. And they use these terms like motor vehicle, and they use them deceptively. You have to cut through all this. You got to find it possibly in your state rules, and it's only going to be one definition. I found one in one state. It's just a definition. It says that a license, an ID, listen to this, an ID or your driver's license, an ID, your registration, your tags, and any other of those forms and documents is for purposes of operating motor vehicles in the state. And motor vehicles in the particular state is defined as operating that vehicle for business purposes, and that's what it pertains to. So you have to bring the lineage of your of your position together and then come from the start of where did the roads, the land itself come from? And then you ask the question, this might be more of a declaratory judgment so you don't get yourself in trouble. I don't know yet. I'm not saying what to do. I'm saying research this. Is that you ask the question, how does the state have the right, absent an extraordinary use of that grant, of that granted highway, how does it have a right to obstruct my passage over it, which is does nobody has the right to? Now, that's it in a nutshell, but you have to do a lot of work, and it's not going to be easy because there's a corruption in the court system that you either need to expose or you need to figure out a methodology to get them to actually determine the law piece by piece, which I think might be easier to do, declaration by declaration, and building the case law by law, but you direct by the law you find in order to prove that they don't have a right to regulate you or anybody else that's not in a in an extraordinary use of that granted highway. Because, again, the 1866 law, as you read this, this law, and you'll find that on the Jefferson Mining District website, you'll see that it says that the highway, the right to construct the highways is hereby granted. That doesn't, there's no regulation involved there, and there's no direction as to mode. In other words, they can't delineate what you use to go down the highway. What it ends up being as a regulation is your common sense not to destroy that use of it because you don't own it. So it's a lot of information really quick to you, and I'd appreciate that you call us. Sorry I didn't grab to you last week early enough, but glad you could find that information. Anything else, again, if you have a question, send it to me on markonthebeast@yahoo.com, and I might be able to point you some places that's not so fast.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. I do appreciate that. Yeah, folks, this is there's a lot to know, but once you figure out how to look around, you can formulate your ideas better than your right to drive. Believe me, do not approach this as a right to drive issue. You do not have a right to drive. Driving has been, the term drive has been defined. It's an employment. You find this simpler by going to the federal code. Federal code in Title 49 will tell you about that. Title 28 USC will tell you under, I think, Section 31 about the commerce connection. And your compact, all the states that have compacts with the federal government, this click-enter ticket, these are all motor vehicles operating in the state that are under federal Title 49. So you'll get all this, but don't take my words here and just plop it on a judge. You have to go a lot more methodologically because we are in an occupied state. I tell you, this is no joke, folks. I don't know what else to say. I've proven it over and over, and I've read the Libra Code. You got revenue enhancement officers on the road. That tells you you live in martial law. I've likened it to be an open-air prison. This is not a joke. This is not just some idea just to get your fascination. Oh, this is interesting. Or not. I don't know. Maybe you don't think it's the truth, and you don't care less. The point is that's the environment you're going to find yourself in. And this is it takes a long time. You're dealing with a lot of people, like with this travel management plan. You will never understand what it took to get the commissioners to understand the law, to now have Fred Warner step up and says, we're going to assert that now. Now we see it. That just didn't come out of his head from a pillow, his cup of coffee in the morning. There's people doing work behind the scenes. That's what I tell you daily, folks. You got to get up and go work. You got to find out what is important to you in the world that's going to come and affecting you. Identify it, and you need to address that. And I say do it peacefully, but let out of the barrel, out of the lead to paper instead of out of the barrel of the gun. That's what I've been trying to do, trying to empower people to do. You know, we can go there. That's the ultimate solution, but I don't know. That's a pretty big up in the air grab. I'd rather just say, okay, there's a system that's gone corrupt. It's time for us to put the jump back in the driver's seat of this vehicle careening down over the edge into the stinking abyss and take control, white knuckle this thing until we get it under control. In our misunderstanding, in our fear, whatever it is that we can use for 1,000 excuses, we have to cast those off, and we have to care enough about us and those around us to say, I don't care if anybody else does this, I'm going to do it. No different than years ago, I looked at the mining law and said, wow, this has been a big violation. And I've been up until just the last few years, then finally people started to actually listen to me. There wasn't anybody that was talking about the mining law being a property right. Now we see more people. Stay tuned.
This is Hal Anthony. Till next time, Journey with Purpose.
what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.